Open your Bibles and turn them to Psalm number 1. When I first started teaching school, I was an English teacher. In fact, I was most all the years. But in those days, I could have people memorize the Bible. And I had parents thank me for it. And I nearly always had them memorize Psalm 1 and several others, Psalm 23, Psalm 90, Psalm 100. I'm not going to preach on the whole psalm. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's very symmetrical. It's everything fits, and you got your positive and negative and whatever. It's a very beautiful psalm. But I want to read the whole psalm for you this morning, but I'm going to preach on just verse 1. Try to. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the word that we have in our hands this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the safety that you brought us here safe this morning with all the problems around. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon this service. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch every heart and life that's here. And I pray, Lord, you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only your Holy Spirit can give. And I ask you, Lord, for your blessing. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Looking at this psalm, as I said, it's a beautiful psalm, and I probably ought to preach on it, but I'm just going to try to take verse 1. And I want to look at the blessed man, and I want to look at it from a little different aspect than we generally think about blessings. This is blessings because of negative things. Notice that verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Generally, when I think about my blessings, and I'm going to read a few verses that will be like that. When I think about my blessings, I think about things I have. I think about things that are given to me. I think about people that help my life and encourage me or whatever. And I think that way as blessings. But this is just the opposite of that. These are negative things. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, when David wrote this, this very first verse is just so beautiful in its progression. Let's look first of all at the action. He's walking, standing, sitting. I'm walking by. Well, that's not a very fixed position. You're not really there. Standing is you decided to hang around and listen for a little while and look in. And sitting is you taking a position. Notice something else. He walks not in the counsel. We get counsel all the time. At work, somebody's always telling you something to do. They're inviting you to a party or to a dance or to go out or maybe some very bad invitations, maybe some very good invitations. Maybe they'd be telling you how you ought to have your marriage or how you ought to do your work or whatever. But counsel is pretty simple. You can take it or not take it. You can pass it by. He said, way, or standeth in the way of sinners. That's not just counsel. You're walking down a path. You got a direction. You got a highway. So counsel is one step, and way is a deeper step, a more fixed step. And then notice the seat, sitteth in the seat. They've taken a fixed position. This is their life. This is their character. This is where they are. And then notice what the position that he gets there. walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, ungodly sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, I guess when I think of ungodly, you think of something really bad. I mean, it's ungodly. But you know, that's not the way he's using it here. Ungodly is less than sinners, and sinners is less than scornful. Ungodly is just not like God. There are some very nice neighbors you have that are ungodly. They don't love God. They don't love the Word of God. They don't listen to God. They don't pray to God. They're ungodly. Oh, they may not drink. They may not smoke. They may not cheat. They may do their work well. They may be very good neighbors. I've had some very good, ungodly neighbors. And you wouldn't have called them sinners. They wouldn't have been the kind that you would say, oh boy, this is the wicked people. These are the people that do bad things. These are the people I don't want to be around. No, they might even be very good neighbors, but they were ungodly. They just weren't like God. And then he says, you know, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, now, sin is a transgression of the law. When you're talking about a sin, you're talking about doing something God has told you not to do. You're not just talking about something that you don't have. It's talking about you breaking the law. It's talking about you disobeying God. It's talking about you violating a principle, violating a right from someone. That's a bigger step than just being ungodly. And then when he says scorners, scornful. You met any scorners? Oh, I've met a few. They not only are ungodly, they not only are lawbreakers, they not only are sinners, they despise it. They put down good. They put down truth. They put down God. They put down God's Word. So it's a progression. In each of these three areas, there's three divisions here and a progression in each one of the three, and it's an absolute beautiful verse. I mean, thinking that through, writing that down, the Holy Spirit really touched his heart and gave you something worthwhile. Now I want you to think about a blessed man. David is saying, blessed is the man. And let's look what he said, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. Did you realize how blessed you were when you didn't get ungodly counsel? Now we don't think about that sometimes. But think about how many people are getting ungodly counsel and they're not blessed. You know what you do? You're going to listen to what people say around you. And like it or not, there's an old saying, sort of a cliche, birds of a feather flock together. Who you hang around with, they do influence you. You don't think they do? You're going to talk like them before long. What you hear coming in your ear is going to come out of your mouth. I don't care if you, even against it, if you hear it enough, sooner or later it's going to pop right out of your mouth. And that's the same way that people think. People around you, they think a certain thing is right. They think a certain thing is wrong. They are for a certain group or against a certain group. And it won't be long, you'll be influenced to be just exactly like them. You listen to the wrong counsel long enough, that wrong counsel is going to take a root in you. And I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just the way the world is. But it's awful hard to make a good habit, and it's so easy to make a bad one. Isn't that the truth with you? Man, I can overeat easily. I don't diet very well. Aren't you about the same? It's an amazing thing how I decide I want to do something good. And man, I want to break it the first day. And then if I last two or three days, oh man, I really made an effort. And if it lasts a month or two or three months, good night. Man, what willpower. It is so easy to do the wrong thing. Well, I don't know why it's that way. The devil made me do it, Brother Trinidad. The devil made me do it. My wife, whom thou gavest to be with me, she tempted me. Yeah, my friends, we've got all sorts of... But you know there is some truth? You are influenced by the people you listen to. You are influenced by the people you live around. You are influenced by those that you listen to their counsel. What a blessing to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What a blessing! You ever thought about how you've been blessed? I think about the times that I'm so blessed that I don't go to the places I used to go. I'm not listening to that garbage that I used to. I just turned some of it off. I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, I don't want to read that. I'm sorry, I don't want to participate in that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But no, notice something else. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Again, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what it says in the Bible. Oh, no, my friends don't influence me. I'm my own man. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Your friends do influence you. And what they do, you before long will be doing the same things. Or you'll get so used to it that it won't even bother you at all. Take some of our missionaries coming back. Now, I don't know about Europe. Europe has some pretty wicked TV and whatever, but I imagine ours might even be a little bit better than theirs. But I remember when we first came back from Guatemala. We've been down there 3 years. And I was shocked at things. Things that could be said, things that were done. Like I said, when I started teaching school, they memorized scriptures. I had them quote scriptures. And we had parents thank me for it. I wasn't criticized by the school district, and I never had a parent come up and criticize me for having a Bible on my desk or memorizing scriptures or talking to their children about something that was moral. They were thankful. But you know, when I came back to the States, I was shocked at things that could be said and how they were said and how open they were and whatever. But I'm not shocked anymore. Why? I've been back 36 years. I've been listening to it right along. I'm right in here. I listen to the television. I listen to the radio. I read the books. I read the magazines. I see what's going on in the world around me. And before long, it's a common thing. It doesn't even raise your eyebrows for somebody to say certain things or to see how homosexuality has just gained in prominence and is accepted by all the world, or how sin in so many forms and so many ways is just accepted by this generation. We've been standing by sinners. We've been standing around sinners. And we've gotten so used to it, it doesn't even bother us. One time I was talking to my daughters, and I don't remember which one it was out of my three, but I was talking to them, and we were offended at something that was said. And the girl says, "We hear that all the time. We hear that every day. That's the way they talk at school." Well, that's right. But you see, they didn't talk at school that way when I went to school, because I went in the dark ages. I understand. I mean, I know I'm a long ways back from you. But you get used to things. You listen to the counsel and you stand with sinners. And what happens? The way they think, because they're not a bit ashamed of what they believe. You may be a little ashamed of what you believe. You might want to sort of not really be too loud about your convictions out in their ears. They're not ashamed. They're going to tell you what they think. They're going to tell you what they like. They're going to tell you their ideas and attitudes. It's going to come out because that's the world. That's the way it is. And it isn't long. You're going to get used to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What a blessing if you have a position where you don't stand in the way of sinners. Blessing. Blessing. He also said, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Now, the Bible talks about fools. It says it several times. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, an atheist says it with his mouth. Not all people believe in God. Some of them are so bold as to say, there is no God. Mankind and the human brain is the biggest thing they've ever encountered. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know any human brain that could make a man. I don't know any human brain that could make a world. Or all the animals that are out there. The diversity and the complexity of life is just fascinating to me. And as far as I'm concerned, though, I would not say you could prove there's a God. To me, everything around us proves there's a God. To my common sense, to my knowledge, there had to be some super brain, some super God to do what has been done. And I personally think anybody that is an atheist is a fool. But there are a lot of people who don't with their mouth open up and say there is no God, but they in their heart say there is no God that's going to judge, or there is no God that's going to see, or there is no God that's going to answer to this. And so they become a fool in their own heart because of the way they treat God. Now let me just add a little something to it, and it's sort of extra scriptural. If you believe there is a God, and yet you live like God will never judge you, what does that make you? That's almost worse than the fool who believes in his heart there is no God. Think about this. I know there's a God. I know He's going to judge, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Let Him do what He wants to do. Talk about foolishness. Amen. Talk about not thinking clearly. And I say this about young people lots of times because young people make a lot of mistakes. And they get themselves hurt. And they hurt a lot of people around them. But old people can do the same thing. Be just as foolish. But you know, there is some hope for young people that they can get wise and grow up and make some changes. There's not much hope for old fools. That's the truth. I've been preaching 48 and a half years, preaching the gospel. Most of the people that I've ever seen get saved are under 25 years old. How many people in this room today were saved after they were 25 years old? Let me see your hand. All right. Good, good. How many were saved before they were 25? Most people get saved before they're 25. You guys are blessed. I have led a 76-year-old man and an 85-year-old woman to the Lord in my life. But they're rare. They're rare. Old fools are stupid. Old fools have ignored things so long they've lost any conscience. If you're a young fool, don't grow to be an old fool. Repent of your sins. Have some sense and seek the Lord while you have an opportunity to seek Him. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her. She shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Now look what Solomon says right down at verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. What wisdom is it? Get wisdom. Don't decline from the words of mouth. Forsake wisdom not. Don't forsake wisdom. She'll preserve you. Love her. She'll keep you. Wisdom's a principal thing. And right here, what is wisdom? Enter not in the path of the wicked. A blessed man doesn't enter into the path of the wicked. That's a blessing. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Have you ever heard of a fellow named Evel Knievel? Some of you probably had a motorcycle with him on, a little motorcycle toy, you know. Evel Knievel. I watched Evel Knievel make jumps. The man's crazy. I mean, he has so many bones broken in his body, and his son followed in his footsteps. Now, how smart are you? If you follow the way that's going to cause you tremendous pain, I don't think there's enough money. I'm talking millions of dollars. I don't think there's enough money for me to want to beat myself up that bad. How about you? Is that worth it to you? I personally think Evel Knievel is an idiot. He's a rich idiot, but I don't think he's very bright. I don't think many daredevils are very bright. I think people who just throw their life away for a little bit of pleasure or a little bit of money aren't real bright. What would wisdom say? Don't go down some directions. Every once in a while I read about somebody who just decides to go walking in the middle of the night, maybe down in some rough part of town or whatever. And then they're surprised when they get beat up or mugged or whatever. Well, maybe I grew up in San Antonio and it was the mean streets of San Antonio when I was growing up in them. And I guess they still are. But I didn't go down on the river walk at night. I grew up in San Antonio. It was tourists from New York that went down on the river walk at night. I knew better than to. I grew up in this town. Now I know they've got it covered a lot better and a lot more policemen and whatever. But we knew a perfect place to get mugged, to get beat up. Have what little money you have taken, your wallet and whatever. You don't go down certain places. That's what he's telling you. Get wisdom. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Somehow we think people that are evil are brave. Somehow we think people that are evil, people that do these bad things or live this bad kind of life, they're sort of like heroes. And maybe our movies and our books and our television and our comic books and all of these things sort of glorify this type of a life. Friend, that's not a good life. Get wisdom. You need a little wisdom to realize what's going to hurt and what's going to help and what's going to make you have a happy life and what's going to make you have an unhappy life. Get some wisdom. Search for her. Love her. She'll preserve you. Don't go enter into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. How much better to be blessed by avoiding some things. Now, it's a wonderful thing if you've been saved out of great sin. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great testimony. Yes, this man was a hitman from the mafia, and somebody witnessed to him, and he became saved, and now he's working for Youth for Christ, leading souls to Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to have avoided being a hitman for the mafia? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to have avoided jail time? To have avoided embarrassment and shame and the problems that have to go along with sin? Avoid it. Pass not by. Turn from it and pass away. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And that's blessing. That's a blessed man. That's very practical. Just very practical. There's some things I don't want to have to live through. Amen. I'm blessed by not having to live through some things. Do you understand? Hey, all of us have troubles. All of us have problems in our life. But if you can avoid them, that's wisdom. If you can avoid them and save yourself the pain, the heartache, and the sorrow, not only to your life, to your parents' life, to your children's life, to your husband or your wife's life, to your church's life, to your community's life, whoever, wherever, what a blessing. Blessed is the man that could avoid those things. I'm going to turn you to some verses in this same area. Look, if you will, Psalm 34 in verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Now, I want you to know, this Bible is an object of faith. I believe the book. I can't prove it to you scientifically or even historically that this is the absolute Word of God. But I believe it. Now, believing it has changed my life. I believed it, and the things that it said, I listened to it, and why, what a difference it made in my life. Do you know it not only blessed me, it blessed my wife. It didn't just bless me and my wife, it blessed my children and my grandchildren. And you know what? It blessed my parents. And so he says right here, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Let me tell you what a blessed man is. A man who trusts God. Now, you can trust some of your teachers, and you can trust some of the books you read. You can trust some of the preachers that are, some of the things that are said, but you need to trust God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I'm thankful I have been blessed in that way. Let me show you another verse. In Psalm 65, verse 4. Someone stood up the last meeting we had and said, I'm so thankful that God has chosen me. Isn't that a blessing? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Oh, what a change in my life came to me when God invited me. Come unto me. And I came. And when I came, He received me and He welcomed me and He blessed me and He's been blessing me all these years. I'm an old man about the end of my life. But I got saved as a young man, 21 years old. I'd lived long enough to know what sin was. I'd lived long enough to know what suffering was. And then I found the Lord. And you know what He did? He invited me into His house. He set me down at His table. He fed me with the greatest delights I've ever known. He changed my life. Turned it around. I was foolish. I was very foolish. I was stupid. Oh, I had enough brains to make grades on tests or do whatever I wanted to do. But the direction of my life showed what a fool I was in my heart. And then God saved me, chose me, called me, brought me into His presence, set me at His table, and blessed me with blessings. Amen. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. Have you been chosen? Have you been invited? Have you sat at His table? You're blessed. Look, if you will, at Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. You know, I did have a good body, healthy body, all of my life. You say, it doesn't look much like now. Yeah, but look what it's been through. And by the way, we all got to die sooner or later to make room for you young people. If we didn't, there'd just be too many people. God gave me a wonderful body. But you know what I had to learn? I had to learn I wasn't strong enough. I don't care how good your body is. They got an advertisement on television. Shows this man, he's 6'4" and 240 pounds, and he is a formidable man. But he's not strong enough to resist this one little blood vessel clogging up in his heart or in his brain. That little bitty thing can just knock him out. You realize how frail you are? You're strong, you're healthy, you're going to live forever. I know, that's the way you think. Everything's going well for you. You're never going to be sick like other people. You're never going to have troubles like other people. And you, things aren't going to go wrong for you. All those things that happen to other people, they're not going to happen to you. You know it. Oh, but you will. Some of you young people, you're going to get a disease that you won't be able to handle. Some of you aren't going to make 70 years old. You're not going to make 50. And you know, it's nobody's fault. It's the way life was dealt to you. And every person in this room is different. We don't get the same shake. Life's not fair. There's no fairness about life. I believe God is just. And when we get to the end, God will justify everything. Everything will be made right. But as to this life, you're going to have the same life your brother or sister's going to have, or your mother and father had? No, you won't. I don't have the same life my mother and dad had. I mean, they were grown people with kids when the Depression hit. Let me tell you what, they went through it. Some of your grandparents did the same thing. They went through troubles and trials. I didn't have those. I haven't had them yet. Some of you have a sickness right now. You don't deserve. It's not fair that you have it and your neighbor doesn't have it, or your husband or wife doesn't have it, or your children don't have it. But that's life. You know what you find out? You're not strong enough. I don't care how strong you are. You're not strong enough. You think you're so tough. You want to be tough. You want people to think you're tough. You dress so you look tough. You're a wimp. You don't think you are, but you are. Let me tell you what. God messed with your little toe. Just your little toe. That's all He's got to mess with. He'll have you crying, Uncle, quickly. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Why me? Why me? Why me? Poor me, poor me, poor me. It doesn't take much to get your attention. And God can get it, believe me. And you're so smart. You're so tough. You're so, everybody's afraid of me. Nobody's afraid of you. They're afraid you might fall down in front of them and trip them. They're afraid they might have to smell your bad breath. They're not afraid of you. You know who you ought to be afraid of? God. He doesn't ever get sick. He never is tired. He never gets so weary he does not want to hear what you have to say. He never gets so tired or sleepy. Brent said, with these chairs, we better really start improving our preaching. Otherwise, we're going to put people to sleep. I understand that. I'm getting old, Brent. It's getting worse. It's getting down the line. You know, I may not be able to keep them awake. But the thing of it is, you need God's strength.
Amen.
Blessed is the man who has the Lord as his strength. What a great blessing. You're so much more blessed to have the Lord as your strength than to be trusting your own strength. I don't care how well you, how strong you are. I don't care how healthy you may be. I don't care how much you can bench press or how long you can run or whatever your strength may be. You don't have enough to fight all the battles you're going to fight in this life. So the blessed man has the Lord as his strength. Look at another verse. 94, Psalm 94, verse 12. Now, you're not going to like this one, but it's true anyway. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Some of you are enduring chastening at this present moment. Some of you. I don't ever remember when my dad or my mother didn't wait till dad got home. My mother, she knew how to spank. She didn't have to wait on daddy. And you know what I knew? I knew as a big old 16-year-old boy that if my mama said, bend over that bed, I better not disobey her. No matter how smart I thought I was. Because then I would have my daddy on me. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. You don't think of that as a blessing. But it is a blessing. To have God correct you. Now as a man, and as I learned it a long time ago, not just as an old man, I thank God for every time my daddy chastened me. He probably didn't do it enough. My wife would agree to that. That he probably should have done it more. But you know, when he quit spanking me, then he just talked to me. I would have taken the spankings back. I hated for him to sit me down and say, son. Because he was going to tell me how stupid I was. How ignorant I was. Why didn't I think about this? Why didn't I consider something here? And I better, because it was going to come back to bite me. And that's what God does. I am so thankful for some of the chastening of the Lord. You know, the Lord has taught me some beautiful lessons. But He didn't teach him with just a verse of Scripture. He taught him by chastening. You know, I had to learn how to be a better husband by having troubles with my wife. Did you know that? Yeah. You too. If you're smart. If you're smart, you learn how to be a better wife. If you're smart, you learn how to be a better husband. But you know what makes us do things like that? Trouble. Trouble. We're just not all so smart that we think, oh, I need to improve myself. No, I find that I hurt my wife's feelings and she's mad and she's hurt and she's crying and my life's miserable. So I better change what I'm doing. What have I done wrong? And sometimes you don't even know. Isn't it amazing? But the Lord's got a lot of ways of chastening us. Has He ever put you flat on your back in a bed? Sick, so sick, you didn't care whether you lived or died? So sick that you're cold one minute, you can't put enough covers on you, and the next minute you're burning up and sweating, and He goes back and forth and back and forth. Has God ever gotten your attention in a wreck? When you think how stupid I was, how foolish I've been, why did I do what I've done? Has God ever gotten your attention? Or have you learned anything at all from your experience? This says, blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord. Blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. I've heard people say, perfect love casteth out fear, and they're quoting Scripture, and that's beautiful. Do you have perfect love? I've never seemed to attain to it. So I fear the Lord. And you know what? That's a blessing. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Wow. You mean because I fear God, I'm blessed? Yes. Yes. I fear God, I'm afraid to do some things I see people all around me do. I'm afraid of them. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of going to hell. I'm afraid my Heavenly Father will have to spank my stupid self. I'm afraid that I'll have to pay for my foolishness. I'm afraid that I'll get in trouble with my Heavenly Father, and He's a good Father. He doesn't let me get away with anything. Fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Fear of God is a beautiful thing. In fact, you're blessed if you have the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, what's going to happen to you? You're going to walk right on down the path till God slaps you down. And oh, He will. You think you're so smart you can get away with anything. You can't. Because you have a Heavenly Father. Now, by the way, if He's not your Heavenly Father, you may get away with it until the great white throne judgment. But you'll pay anyway. But as a child of God, and you dismiss His Word, you dismiss the warnings that He brings your way, you dismiss the reasonings that He brings to you, you walk on your way thinking, I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm my own man, I'm my own, I can do anything I want to do, God will bring you down. The day is going to come when you'll be crying and wishing, oh, that I had feared the Lord. Oh, that I had listened. Oh, that I'd paid attention to the Word of God. In the book of Romans, and I'm going to close with this, chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let me tell you something. I learned something after I got saved. I learned that God, in His mercy, had paid for all my sins. I learned that God went to the cross of Calvary, and my sins were laid on Him there. And He died under the load of that sin. He died as a man for men, that I as a man might be saved. And God did a great transaction. He took all my sins. Before I was ever born. All the sins I'll ever even commit. All sin. And laid it on Christ. And he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gave that to me. Dressed me up in that. What a transaction. Now you know what that did? That meant that no sin for my eternal soul could ever stick to me again. That's what David was talking about in Psalm 32. Heard Trinidad quote it this morning. And that's what they're quoting right over in Romans. Blessed is he unto whom the Lord imputeth not sin. Now I want you to understand something. That's talking about your eternal position before God in heaven. That doesn't mean you can sin and get away with it right here. Try it. Just go out there and just be stupid. Go out there and sin and see what happens to you. Yeah, but I'm saved. That just means you got dressed up in the righteousness of Christ and you are so blessed, those sins will not stick to you for your eternal redemption. Thank you for that. But that doesn't mean if you drive 70 miles an hour in a school zone, you won't get a ticket. Or that they won't take your car away from you. Or you won't spend a night in jail. Or you won't get your back broke trying to flip a motorcycle like Evel Knievel. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Let me tell you something, friend. I may be talking to somebody here today that's not saved. I want you to know, Jesus Christ paid all your debt. To God. To God. You wouldn't stand a chance of going to heaven otherwise. But He can take your soul right now and wash it white as snow. He can remove the sin and the guilt and the eternal punishment for that by you trusting by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Will you trust Him today? If you're not saved, take Christ as your Savior today. My Christian friend, God in His wisdom gives you instruction day in and day out. God in His blessing brings to you reproofs, rebukes, and sometimes punishments, chastisements, in order to turn you away from your own foolishness. Don't be so foolish as to ignore the call of God upon your life. Don't be so foolish as to ignore the conviction of sin that comes into a Christian's life. When God brings it to your knowledge, repent of it. Repent of it. Get on your face before God and say, "Oh, God, forgive me." You'll be a blessed man. That's thing number 249. This altar is open. If the Lord has spoken to your